David Coast Guard, David Coast Guard, Littlestone Lifeboat, Littlestone Lifeboat.
Littlestone Lifeboat, this is David Coast Guard. The Littlestone Lifeboat
Podcast. Hello, I'm John Roughhead, a helmsman here at Littlestone-on-Sea RNLI Station. Welcome to the July podcast, our third of the year. This is the continuing story of the volunteers who give up their time to maintain one of the RNLI's 236 lifeboat stations. This time, we're at the RNLI College as two of our team become qualified lifeboat crew members.
The scariest exercise was jumping 4.5 metres off of a diving board into the water.
I hated it.
Getting stuck in the mud with the family who are rescued by the men in yellow boots.
Three chaps from the RNLI coming towards me. I wasn't sure who it was at first. And I thought, well, no, it's got to be them.
And building on sand with the annual competition that cements our local community.
Are we all ready?
But first, let's head into the lifeboat station and join our operations manager, Charlie Davis, who can tell us about the emergency calls we've responded to since the spring.
Well, thanks, John. Since our last podcast, April was a quiet month. We had one casualty, which was a person stuck in the mud just to the right of the station. The crew actually went out onto the beach and used our throw bags and assisted the lady out of the mud, and we brought her into the boathouse. We've had two in May, a speedboat we towed to Dover with a hole in the engine sump. It was an inboard engine and the sump had rotted out and he'd lost all his oil. So we then towed that to Dover, and we also stood by a vessel that was entering Dover Harbour with hydraulic problems on his steering. So we just guided him in until the Dover Harbour launch took over and took him to a berth. The following day we had a rope tangled around the propeller whilst the boat was on exercise. They found that one and dealt with that. We've had two kite surfers at Lade that were in possible danger. Another standby for a kite surfer stuck in the mud at Littlestone, and he was assisted out by local builders with scaffold boards before we needed to actually launch. We had a rowing boat at Dymchurch and we were stood down for that. And then on the 21st of June, we were called out in the evening to a rowing boat that had been pushed into the sea by children. I recovered that, and that's how it stands to date. This is the season for incidents. It's a beautiful day down here today. It's very, very clear. The ships are all going by, yachts. Tide is on the ebb, but lots of people mustering on the beach to enjoy a beautiful day at Greatstone and Littlestone.
You're listening to the RNLI Littlestone podcast, an audio insight into the work of volunteers from the Kent community where you live. I'm John Roughhead. We can now head off to RNLI headquarters in Poole, where you may remember our crew member Heather Dorset was heading.
I feel a bit nervous about it. We've also been told to make sure we eat plenty so that we don't feel sick.
My name's Alex. I'm a lifeboat trainer here at the RNLI College, and I've been working here for about 2 years now. What the crews are about to do now is they will remove their life jackets and actually swim the length of the pool unaided without a life jacket to sort of simulate worst-case scenario, and that's part of the test. For them to demonstrate that they could swim that distance. Once that's complete, they will then start conducting a scenario where we will talk them through the abandonment of a ship, where they will hear the alarms and the announcements from the captain. They'll then have to go to a muster station, pack a grab bag, and then they will muster on the top of the platform in the Sea Survival Centre, which is 4 metres above the water. They will then be asked to jump off there to simulate jumping off the side of a ship into the water, where their life jacket will then inflate, where they will then have to swim into a group together and then swim to a life raft, at which point, unfortunately for them, the life raft will be upside down, so they will have to each demonstrate that they can rewrite the life raft by themselves. Once that's happened, then the scenario will begin. They then have to climb into their life rafts. It will then become dark. The rain will begin, the wind and the waves, and they then have to survive in that life raft for about 15 to 20 minutes until help arrives.
Dave Needham, one of the lifeboat trainers. Today we're in the sea survival pool in a tank. They're just going to do a capsize of an Atlantic just so they can experience what happens should it happen for real out on the coast. There's a few safety things that we do in the pool. It just gives them an insight into what happened and gives some reassurance in the equipment that they're using.
It was brilliant, really enjoyed it. We had to do loads of different stuff. swimming in the all-weather boat kit, which is something we're not used to because we wear our dry suit, so we got very wet and cold. And we had to swim without life jackets. We had to swim in a survival suit, which you would have on big commercial ships. And then the last exercise, oh no, the scariest exercise was jumping 4.5 metres off of a like diving board. Yeah, and then when you jumped in, your life jacket all inflated. Yeah. Today's Friday afternoon. I've just come out of my last afternoon session with my intense training course. I'm pleased to say I've passed the whole week. So now I'm qualified lifeboat crew. So now, today we spent the day out round Poole Harbour, practicing how to rescue jet skis and sailing boats and dinghies and all the kind of things that we're going to come across when we go back down to station. So in all the weeks, it's been amazing. We've done 2 days in the sea survival pool. We've done 2 full days out at sea on the boats. We've been swapping lifeboats, so I've got to go on the all-weather boats to see what they're like in case I have to go on one of those when we're out. And it's just been incredible. The whole experience has been amazing. Right from staying at the lifeboat college, where all the food, the accommodation is brilliant, to the instructors that have been incredible. So I've really enjoyed myself, and boys back at station, you better watch out. I'm coming back with new ideas.
Now today, the sun is out and the tide is just coming in to the top of the beach. Beautiful golden sand here at the water's edge. But once the tide recedes, it's a slightly different picture. Water goes out and exposes some open patches of mud. Now let's hear more about one of the rescues which happened recently when we received a call to a family who was stuck in the mud not too far from the lifeboat station. Crew member Clinton Marshall explains what happened.
We were contacted via our pager system with a standby call saying there was an immediate launch. We arrived at the boathouse. Simon made contact with Dover Coast Guard over the landline, and they then located us in the right direction to where the casualty was. Because the tide being so far out, we decided we would walk down there. So myself and a couple of crew got our dry suits on, learned that she was stuck in the mud because it'd be a bit dirty, and made our way out there onto the sands. We took a radio with us so we could be in contact with Dover Coast Guard to update them on the situation. They informed us that they were sending lots of resources to us. So we had fire brigade, ambulance service, and they also dispatched a rescue helicopter to us, which was due to turn up any minute. We managed to throw a line to the lady and then drag her out of the mud patch, and we've just taken them back to station.
It's not too often we get to hear from those who we were able to help, but Laura from the Medway Towns has kindly agreed to give us her account of what happened on that day.
Well, it was a lovely day. It's very perfect, very calm. There wasn't a huge amount of people around. It's a beautiful little beach. We'd never been there before. It's really quite breathtaking, to be honest. And we realised that the sea was quite far out, and we thought we'd just go for a walk down to the sea, and ended up getting stuck in the mud. My mum was walking in front of me, and my children were pottering about behind, picking up shells and stones and things. We both sort of stepped in what we thought was wet mud, and then it felt a lot more different, but she went a lot further in very quickly, and then I started going up to my knees, and then realised what it was. So I managed to pull myself out, and my three sons were also getting a little bit covered in mud as well. So I managed to get them out, and then I looked at my mum and realised there was no way she was going to get out, and I didn't want to go too close to her. I was absolutely terrified. Of course, all the three boys were very cold and wet and miserable as well, and they were scared. I think my mum was as well, obviously, at that point. But obviously, she wasn't getting out, so, yeah. That's what I needed to make that call, to be honest. I saw, I think it was three chaps from the RNLI coming towards me. I wasn't sure who it was at first because I've never seen, you know, the uniform or anything. And I thought, well, no, it's got to be them. I felt so, I don't know, tearful, grateful. they're really heroes, and they did do so much more than they needed to do, if you see what I mean. They got us all warm. They gave the boys hot chocolate and biscuits, and one of the ladies, I think she works in the cafe, and she popped home and got us some clean clothes, and because obviously me and my mum got it the worst, and yeah, they generally really did take care of us all. Thank you so much just for being so kind and kind-hearted, just for being heroes, and thank you. Thank you so much.
Every time you make a donation to the RNLI, or stop and buy a tea or coffee or a gift at our shop, the money you contribute goes straight to the training that saves lives. Let's visit Alison now at our shop on the corner of the station to see what's been happening there since the last podcast.
Hello, John. We've now got the Christmas cards and the 2015 calendars in. I know it's still the summer, but people do buy them early. Calendars and diaries are now in stock. We've also now got the Little Stone Lifeboat embroidered polo shirts, sweatshirts and fleeces, which are selling very, very well. We've got another big order in. Teas and coffees are also going very, very well and all adding to fundraising. We now have our regular customers that come to see us. So if you're not a regular customer, if you've never been before, why don't you come down and have a tea or coffee with us and see, come and see us and see the boat. And if you're lucky, you may even see a launch or an exercise going on. One big event that the shop has got coming up is the War and Peace Show at Folkestone. Dover Lifeboat are running a stall there and an event, and they've asked us to go along and help out with the shop. So if you're in the area, pop along and see us at the War and Peace Show on the 16th to the 20th of July. So this is just one of many outdoor events we're doing. We've also got the New Romney Country Fair on the 26th of July, where our shop will be shut on at the station, but we will be on the field at New Romney. Just a reminder that the shop is open on Wednesdays till Sundays from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. We are closed on a Monday and a Tuesday.
We always like to walk along the beach, and it's very nice to have a coffee here and visit the shop. We moved down here 6 years ago. We love this area, and we love the fact that there's lifeboats so that we know we're safe.
Hello, I'm John. We live in Greatstone, and we just had a lovely walk along the beach and thought we'd stop here for a coffee and for a look at the souvenirs.
I like to come along. It's nice to sit, relax with friends and contribute to saving lives.
Next month, the 16th of August, will mark our Emergency Services Day here at Little Stone Lifeboat Station. It's always a great event with displays and demonstrations, and this year the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight. Here's crew member Matt Crittenden to tell us more.
This year we're extremely lucky to have the presence of the fabulous Battle of Britain Memorial Flight. A Lancaster, a Spitfire and a Hurricane. But I'm told by my friends on the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight that we may have an extra special guest this year, that being the Canadian Heritage Lancaster. So you could see up to 9 Merlin engines flying in formation, 8 on the Lancasters and 1 on the Spitfire. It would be a fabulous thing to see. Emergency Services Day starts at 10:30 in the morning and goes right through until 5 o'clock in the evening. This year is another added bonus. We've got some live music to finish the day off with as well.
You're listening to the RNLI Little Stone podcast. I'm John Ruffhead. The day before we released this podcast, we had our annual sandcastle competition just outside the station.
My name is P.O. Simon Matthews. I'm the first lieutenant of New Romney Sea Cadets, and I'm also a helmsman here at Little Stone Lifeboat. Gathered here today, we have Army cadets, sea cadets and scouts to take part in this year's RNLI Sandcastle Challenge. One of the great issues of today is going to be the wind. You might well be able to hear the wind. It means that the moment any of these cadets or scouts put their bucket down on the ground, it is going to go whizzing off across the beach at great speed. Are we all ready? Okay, on my command, you will have 1 hour. Starting 3, 2, 1, go!
Kalasan Bratton, is it true that you do train at midnight in St Mary's Bay Beach for this event every year?
Absolutely. I have to wait till midnight so no one finds me. And it's my secret hobby.
Lean Cadet McQuirk, he's 17 and he's attempting to get the most sandcastles.
Attempting? It's in the back.
I think the Army Cadets have drawn him.
It's the New Romney Scouts.
And how are they doing?
Really well, as you can see. Getting more flags than everybody else because it's quality, not quantity.
Zach. Curtis. It's going all right. Sea Cadets and Army Cadets are beating us by a tiny wee bit.
Little Stone Lifeboat Station, Little Stone Beach Radio. We now have a result of the individual and the group winners, but we're not going to tell you until we get back because we're horrible like that, so you'll have to wait for a few seconds.
Right, I have in my pocket the final scores. The totals are as follows. The Scouts did 463 sandcastles. The Sea Cadets did 917 sandcastles. for this year's winner for the Shield. It's the Army Cadets with 1,088.
The Little Stone Lifeboat Podcast.
The RNLI podcast returns in October with more stories of the crew and the community we serve. Don't forget to keep in touch via our Facebook page. Just search for Little Stone Lifeboat Station and send a link of this podcast to your family and friends.